Yeah, okay. Like a heart, absolutely a shape like a heart.
In the
Persian poetry, they all speak of the face like a heart.
They do.
The wind.
That's
closed downstairs, isn't it? No one can come in.
I thought it might be David, because he said he might come in later. David.
Repeat what you said about Bala. He said that if Mara looked into the eyes of...
As far as I can remember, the words were that Baba said, if Mehara looked into any man's eyes, his work would be destroyed. His work with her would be destroyed.
But he never described what that work was with her, or anything like
that. Special inner work. She was the counterpart. Right. She represented Maya, it once he said. And therefore, I may be wrong, but it's as if Maya purified.
I think so. When Baba told you that, it was like to a group of you all?
Hmm?
It wasn't just to you personally. It was sort of.
I can't remember.
No, but you remember those words.
I remember that he either... I was there when he said it, or I was told he said it, or I think I remember him pointing on the board. But and
the
I know that it was said. I can't remember. I think it probably was Cairns. I don't know who could check. You could check.
No, that's very interesting.
But it may be probably, I heard it verified by Norina, because she was in charge of them. Kitty had been in advance. Norina was actually in charge of them, bringing them over. She used to sleep outside their door.
Really?
So that nobody could go in. It's amazing. Oh, is that? That's a lovely ball.
Mm-hmm. A good question gets a good answer. There you are.
Okay, yesterday... I think you sort of know what things I'm interested in.
Yes. Well, the first time you speak about Mehra, I hadn't heard about Mehra. But when Norina came back from India, she spoke to me about Mehra and told me of this... Mehra as the opposite way element of Baba in the... all sorts of things, that is, the male and the female.
Just one second.
Just don't know. Element. Something very new, but very... it didn't surprise me. So when we came... after that, as you know, Baba spent 2.5 months in the south of France.
Just to set up. After Norina came back from India.
Yes.
First meeting Mara.
First, she spoke to me about Mehra. She wanted to... I'd already met Baba and been with Baba and seen Baba. But I hadn't heard of the girls yet. I knew of the London, what Baba used to call the girls in London, and of the different, the Mandali. But I had never heard, I never knew of the girls. Baba had said to me once, oh, wait until you meet the girls in India. Then you will see, which remained a bit mysterious for me. Because with Baba, he never repeated things, Baba. He always said something. And what was extraordinary that you felt with Baba, there was nothing that was hazard. Now, with time, I realize more and more, there was never such a thing as a hazard. Everything had a definite planning and a definite understanding, which later on becomes very extraordinary. So when I received this telegram to meet Baba on the 15th of August in Cannes, And when I saw him, he said to me, wait, you'll see Mehra and the girls. And it was really a very beautiful moment. They were living up on the, I called it the hill, it really wasn't a hill, but they lived, Baba and the girls lived up with, I don't remember which disciple lived up on the hill, and we were living down. So then I was taken up to meet Mehra, Mani, and the others that you know about. I must say, it wasn't at all as if I met anyone that I hadn't known before. It was amazing, the contact. When I say the contact, is the essence of the human being, the essence, even though they'd been brought up in India, I had been brought up in America, in Europe. It was a contact of being as if we'd always known each other. And of course, the beauty of Mehra was absolutely startling. From the minute I saw her, first of all, I'd been interested in art. Sometimes I refer to things as in a way like a Persian print, or I refer to art to emphasize what most people don't know in reality but know as a cultural thing. Mehra, first of all, was the shape of her face. The shape was something, as I say, just like a Persian print, in the sense it had a heart. It was like a heart because the chin came down in a slight point, and the cheekbones were rather high, which gave a shadow, which gave a very fantastic shadow to her face. And the coloring of her skin was very beautiful. And what was impressive about her was the bone structure. Now, a lot of...
Sorry.
Yes.
There's two things. One, the
Yes. Well, what was interesting about Mehra was her bone construction. She had a very fine, with some people you're very conscious of their, let's say, the flesh or a certain coloring. But with Mehra, you were conscious of this extreme refinement of bones. The construction of her face was very interesting. People refer to Persian prints because of the shape of the eyes. The eyes had a very specific shape, the nose and the chin, which came down in a point. And there was a great feeling of purity, when you saw her. She was extremely beautiful, and she had a very interesting way of walking, the straight back, with gentle, all her movements were very gentle. There was nothing weak about her. You felt that she had an inner strength of some sort. And the quality of love, you felt that she was capable of loving, of caring. Probably that's the most important thing. I don't know. If you asked me a question, I would probably be able to answer it better.
When you first met her, you heard this woman was special to
Mama. No, I didn't know about the speciality of her. No, I didn't at the moment, except that she probably was one of the most important of the women of the time. She had a special role to play. You always felt, at least I did around Baba, we all had different roles to play. What may be important one moment would be not important another moment. And there was a difference of roles. And Baba being a Mehra, being of such a quality, of a special quality of a human being, just as certain materials, you can't treat certain materials in a rough way. She had to be very gently treated because of this, what we call in French la matière, the material side of her was extremely evolved. It wasn't a rough material. It was of extreme purity. You can't handle purity like you would handle a rough burlap, you know? You can't handle silk like you would handle burlap. There's a difference. One is for one sort of thing, and another is for another sort of thing. And let's say in the scale, she had an important role to play because of her extreme refinement, her extreme value of distinction. Do you understand what I mean?
So are you describing how Baba would treat her?
Well, I mean, in the treatment, we all had different treatments. Baba, of her tremendous fragility, let's say. When I say fragile, I don't mean in the sense that she was couldn't cope with things. Look how she's behaved, how she is since Baba's gone. And she has developed, she went through a tremendous obedience. She went through a great, there was that period when they couldn't ever look up to look at men. She had to always keep her eyes down. Well, that meant that her obedience in her was of a great value, of a tremendous value.
Well, back in Cannes, are there any things you remember first noticing of sort of how Baba would treat her that would anyway put her in that special role or how she would behave with Baba that you saw something that...
Baba went down when we were all together waiting for Baba at night when he came back. We all were very free with each other. Great, for instance, plays, we were making charades, we were arranging things for Baba to, when he came back, to take away some of the weight of his work. Let me give you an example, as if, let's say that Baba was just an executive and who had a very deep role to play. He went out of the house, he went to his business office. Well, the thing is, when he came back, his family, who felt this role, wanted to be something gay for him, something that he would forget all his work. So all our planning was to make Baba, in a way, to take the pressure away from him. And we wanted to amuse him and to make him comfortable, just like you would with an ordinary, as I say, person, a role that made him... he needed that love around him.
Would Mehra participate in this?
Yes, Mehra participated in that. Yes, she did. Of course, I was more confined to money, and I have more with money because Mehra was, for instance, Kitty was teaching her to play piano, and she'd be in a corner playing piano, while Mani and I, at that time, were making costumes or writing down what to do, you know, how to amuse Baba when he came back and make a little theatrical performances for him. You see, what was interesting with all of us was the creative power, the creativeness, that love, the love for Baba made you creative in the sense that you wanted to do something. Good or bad, I don't know. It probably, let's say for most people, be amateurish. But what was importance was the creativeness, was the thought of care and the thought of love that we wanted to express when Baba came back.
But for example, like when you would play charades, would Mehra stand up and do it?
That isn't clear. Now that you ask me that, I don't remember. I can't recall. I remember the charades. What Mehra would do, I don't remember, because you were so preoccupied what you were doing. You were so preoccupied, for instance, you were so, at least I was so preoccupied in thinking of on Baba that sometimes I wouldn't notice what the others were doing. That I don't recall. All I recall of her was her extreme beauty. I used to be fascinated. I would be fascinated when Baba was asking. She probably didn't eat with us. She didn't eat because I don't remember eating with us. But when we were eating, I remember she came in with Baba and was there in our presence. And then what was the vision, let's say the vision of great beauty, of real beauty. For me, I couldn't separate the beauty that I saw in Baba and Mera when they were together. What? You can't say it was equal, but there was a reflection of such purity, reflection of such. Well, it's when you, let's say, for an ordinary person, as they look at a great sunset or a sunrise, a beautiful sunrise, your mind stops in a way. You know, you're just there looking and feeling. Once you begin to describe it, it sort of vanishes. It becomes another thing. But when you're overwhelmed by your beauty, it's beauty itself. You don't think of anything else.
You know, and I understand perfectly what you mean about that, because I've experienced that. But let me ask you another thing. Looking at Mara, she was beautiful, you appreciate that. Did you ever, you know, look and appreciate something that she did for Baba, her something, you know, where you saw how much she loved Baba and obeyed him? Did you ever?
Well, it was the great gentleness, the great refinement. And then there was something very aristocratic about her. Feeding of aristocracy in a sense, the way she, her manners, very exquisite manners, very beautiful manners. That came from a great love and her naturalness in her manners. That was very important.
But as far as, you know, some little thing she did to serve Father, some little thing you noticed that, oh, yeah.
I think it was her way sometimes there was a kind of a little hesitation sometimes in her when she was speaking. It was a kind of a rippling. How would I put it? It was as if something rippled, you know, when you see a light rippling on a water, it rippled with a. And she was a shy person.
Was she shy with you?
No. I never felt any shyness. I never had, when I met the girls, I never had a feeling of separation or shyness. Even today, even the last time when I was in India and I sat with them, it was so loving. It was just sitting there. Even though we all have gone older, the body had gone older. We all had a difference in the body, but not our spirit, not our sensitivity, not our inner. We were the same as we were then, with experiences, but with a great feeling of harmony, a great feeling of sensitivity. A love that you can't explain. I suppose families have that. I can't explain. Like a family that have had different things to do, but ultimately were very united.
In Kansas itself, do you remember any other incidents with Mara or shared moments?
Well, in Kansas, I remember when we went on a picnic trip, and there were steps. We had to go, and I remember Baba. It wasn't Baba who told me not to touch Mehra. You weren't supposed to touch her. But I never had that from Baba who told me that. It was something, I don't know who told me, I can't recall, because I always wanted to help Mehra to go up and around. But I don't recall. I don't recall any special incident.
As I'm not touching Mary, you never embraced Mary, never kissed Mary. Were you aware that you're not supposed
to? No, I was not aware of that. I was not aware of it. After Barbara's accident, I remember, when first of all, in 37, when they came, I was in, I was with Barbara, came to that Paris with the girls and Barbara. They came up in 1937. Barbara came to Paris. No, I didn't drive with them. I had to take two of the other Indian disciples, but I was with Barbara in at Consuelo's house. And there, that is, I used to spend the day there. And then Barbara gave orders that they were to see the exposition of the 1937 world. Exposition, you say in French. And there, the girls, as you know, were living under very strict obediences. They were never supposed to look up if there was a presence of a man. They never were supposed to look, except there was no one there. And when we got to the Eiffel Tower, no, before that, I must come, when we came to fetch them, Mera was in her most beautiful sari, and the girls wore the most beautiful saris you can imagine. They made a group out of the world. Not so much the makeup as their fantastic saris. Yes, jewelry and all, made up like, but amazingly beautiful, amazingly with such refinement. And there, they were taken to the Eiffel Tower. Now you can imagine to come to the Eiffel Tower and to look, and they had to see the fair at the same time, not to look up if there were men. And I wasn't married then. My husband, Roger, and Fredo had to go ahead and see that there would be space. But some sort of miracle, when we arrived, there weren't too many people. So they were able, at the Eiffel Tower, they were able to look out and see. But like all these things with Baba, it was very quick always. How they saw anything, I don't know. Baba, of course, Baba was there with us. And then Baba, the following day, I took Baba, we took a boat trip up the Seine, up the river. The girls came, and Baba's asked me, I had to be, if I saw a man or a woman coming, I had to tell them to look up. So the whole trip on the Seine was look up, look down, look up, look down. That's the left bank. That's the right bank. This is from the far, you see the conciergerie, and then this other building, and the other, and all the different buildings that are along the Seine, which is a very beautiful trip to look, because it gives you, it's a very unwinding, and it's very, there are very beautiful houses along this, on this Seine banks.
You're on a big boat now.
Yes, on a big boat.
So
well, if there was a man anywhere, or a boat, or on the side, or on the sea, or on the part of the boat, they had to look down. So you can see how, what a strict obedience that was, and how difficult it was. At the same time, there's curiosity, but the obedience was stronger than the curiosity. In other words, the love was stronger than their curiosity to see, or to be, or to what to, what to look at. So.
And Baba took them to the exposition as well? Yes,
he was in the exhibition. That was very quick. And then Baba, I used to eat with the girls, with them. Baba used to feed us. I don't remember if Mera was there or ate with all of us, but I remember, because I was so preoccupied, and we were all a bit tired of this trip because it wasn't easy. Coming up from Cannes with the two women disciples, then going back and showing them Paris and doing this and rushing. It was warm. It was very tiring. So that one, it was quickly done. Everything around Baba, now I look back and you see it wasn't for the pleasure, but it was a certain work. And with pleasure, you need more time. And with work, you're more concentrated. You have to concentrate and be fast. You see.
Well, let me ask you this. Yesterday you mentioned that when you would go out with these outlets, people wouldn't
like it. Well, then, you see, when we were in Locarno after the accident, until that point, you see, I hadn't seen the girls again for several, this is after the war. And then when we were, after the accident, Mera had this kind of a gash on her forehead.
Excuse me, we never saw them in America.
No, no, I didn't see them in America. This was when they were in Switzerland.
Let's go back.
Yes.
How did you hear about, you heard about the accident?
Yes. You see, I was, Baba, I was in great correspondence in, with Baba. And I stayed in Paris because Baba was supposed to come with the girls and was supposed to come with the whole group to our, we had a country house. And I was preparing the country house and for the, their coming to be in Europe. At my place, before going, no, after America, they were coming to me. So I was arranging. Duncan had come before to tell me to prepare what I was supposed to prepare. And as we had this country house, Baba was supposed to come with the girls and be at the country house, you see, which was a very old directoire house, very old French house with its qualities and its not its qualities, you see. According to modern conception, it probably was not a house that one, you had to like old things, you see, to appreciate it. But it would have had a lovely garden. So then I was waiting in Paris, and they were supposed to come. When I got a telegram about the accident of Baba, which was a terrible blow, a terrible thing for us all. It was a terrible thing. I got the, I don't know who I got the telegram from. And that, I, and then I stopped everything. So instead of then going, and I had no idea what was happening. No, I didn't. Afterwards, after the letter came, At that moment, I didn't know what it was. So I was greatly disturbed, very upset. So then my husband fell ill, and he wasn't well at all. And when I got news that I had to go to meet Bob in Switzerland, and there I got all the details of what had happened, really, from which was... and when I saw Baba, I had a habit of always rushing to see, to be with him. I'd forgotten he had an accident. He was so radiant that morning. He was absolutely radiant and so happy to see him. And we, so that I imagine I was unaware of this terrible thing that had happened. So then when I saw Mera, and I used to, Baba said, go and stay with the girls, which I did. And Baba told me afterwards, said, take the girls out and show them a bit, Locarno, and have a drink or something. And I said, Baba, I said, how? The, I mean, there'll be men. The restriction had been over then. And Baba said it didn't matter anymore. So I took them out in the streets of Locarno, and they went to, we sat and had a little cafe. But you see, they're having lived such a retired life. There was no such thing as pleasure anymore, because they were, first of all, I suppose the accident gave them a, there was a bit of a shock, and Mani was allowed to talk, but Mera was under silence. She wasn't supposed to speak. She was under, she didn't speak. But when we walked the streets, everyone looked at her. For instance, when we went to buy something, the girl who served us and saw Mera, Mera said, she said in French, comme elle est belle, cette femme. How beautiful she is, this woman. She attracted people by her beauty. It wasn't only, let's say, a physical beauty, but it was this aristocratic, an aristocratic beauty.
Well, you said they weren't able to enjoy pleasure.
Well, I mean, they were. Well, I mean, they, to them, didn't mean much to go out and sit at a cafe or to look at this or look at that. Their whole being was being with Baba, and they experienced everything by being with Baba. The outside world was unnecessary. But I do remember one thing. When I said, Baba, what's going to happen to the girls one day? He said, they'll be in the world, but not of the world.
What were you referring to?
I don't know. I don't know what I was referring to. Would they, I said, would they, will they, probably, no, I was referring to the time when they wouldn't be in seclusion as they were. Well, I said, well, because they were in seclusion. I said, but what will happen? He said, well, they'll be in the world, but not of the world.
Was that in
Carlo? That was in Portofino. No, it wasn't Portofino. I couldn't tell you where it was. Was it in Cannes? Maybe it was in Cannes. It was probably in Cannes.
So you mean between 37 and Cannes?